You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, this Thursday edition of the show. Almost back to it for the Grizzlies playing basketball. They play tomorrow at home with the Clippers. The Grizzlies will have their first practice today that they have had back since the All-Star break. We'll probably hear from Chandler Parsons, so that will be interesting. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow. We'll be interesting to see what his takes are as far as what he says just about the whole situation. I'm sure if he's even made available, or if he talks, or so that will probably be something to look out for. But the Grizzlies again play tomorrow, play the Clippers tomorrow night. So we'll be back in action and see hopefully what we talked about the other day with the starting lineups and how that goes. But I apologize to everyone. We did not have a show on Wednesday. That's because we planned on having Joe Mullenix on the show. He had some prior commitments come up Tuesday night when we decided to record. So we weren't able to get that, show out. So he's actually recording on Wednesday, recorded that episode or that conversation with him Wednesday night. So we have Joe Mullenix on the show today, and the day that we'd already planned on having Peter Edmondson from The Athletic on the show as well. So it's going to be a double huge show today. So two guests, Joe Mullenix in the first segment, Peter Edmondson in the second segment. Obviously, Joe Mullenix from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. And then Peter Edmondson from The Athletic. Peter's also on local radio every morning as well on Sports 56. So those two guys are going to be – so it's going to be a much larger show today than normal. That's because we didn't have the show yesterday. So kind of yesterday's show and Thursday's show, Wednesday's show and Thursday's show kind of all together in one show. So I hope you guys enjoyed that today. Again, Joe Mullenix will be in the first segment, and then Peter Edmondson will be in the second segment. So enjoy Joe Mullenix's conversation. Welcome back into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, as always, usually on the Wednesday segment, but today on the Thursday show, Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, joins me. What's going on, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm excited to be batting leadoff for Peter Edmondson this time around, and I was just talking to Peter on Twitter before hopping on with you. Zion Williamson got hurt in the game tonight for Duke, and people were saying, should he play again for Duke this season? Peter said it was a one-man draft, and I just started naming off random dudes that I remember from my NBA 2K draft that I downloaded when I played the game on the franchise mode. Just being a smartass, because he's exactly right. RJ Barrett, you can make an argument for, and maybe a couple other guys. I still haven't, and in fairness to this draft, I haven't done the research yet. I usually save that for after the regular season's over, since we're so busy over at Grizzly Bear Blues. With game coverage and things like that. But, I mean, it's Zion Williamson with a bullet. And if he is not there, then everybody else is kind of a crapshoot. I'll pass on that. I'm still team convey. I don't know about you, Mark, but I'm still on convey the pick squad.
Oh, well, yeah, 100%. I think that is the best course of action. But it's funny you mentioned that, because that was going to be my first question to you. Is what that the spot the Grizzlies are in going into the last third of the season or whatever it is? What do you think the percentage of them being able to get to that ninth spot is now with this basically new team, but maybe I don't know, equally as good. I don't know if they're equal. They might be a little bit better. I don't with this roster, but what do you think their chances are getting back to nine to really have a, you know, even if they get to eight, yes, they can still convey, but really get to like to nine and really just make sure 100% it goes to the Boston Celtics?
I think they're at probably a 50-50, and I don't want that to be a cop-out. The reason I say it's kind of a coin flip is, you know, Memphis, of the teams around them in this lottery mix, they're really the main one who has an incentive to want to be good. You know, Chicago has really no incentive. Obviously, Phoenix doesn't have incentive. You know, there's some teams at the top that are playing really bad to have their best chance for the points they have. It's Zion Williamson. They're not going to try to win. You know, they may start shutting down their best players on random nights, and the Grizzlies should be able to take advantage of that. Theoretically speaking, and again, after a week or so off, we'll see how it looks starting this weekend as Memphis gets back into the swing. In terms of roster depth, you could argue, I don't know that I necessarily agree, but I've seen some people argue on our blog and online on Twitter that the Grizzlies roster, especially once Chandler Parsons comes back, who I know we're going to talk more about here in a moment, the theoretical Chandler Parsons, of course. But even if you get a night out of Chandler Parsons and their productive minutes as a stretch forward exclusively, this team is maybe deeper than they were before the Marc Gasol trade. I mean, DeLon Wright is a solid combo guard who can either start or be a sixth man for you. Valanciunas, out of shape, coming off of injury, looked pretty darn good in his games before the All-Star break. I don't think that they're going to be that much worse. And combining that with a lighter schedule, because it does lighten up considerably from what they were, I think they're in the top five or six in the NBA in terms of schedule right now, so that'll even out a little bit. And the fact that they're trying to actively win, as dumb as that sounds, that not everybody is, that they're playing coming up. So I think that we probably need to get to 13 or so wins, 12 or so wins, to be in that place where they're around 7th or 8th, and it's likely that they convey. Because, again, if you fall at 8th, usually somebody – the lottery is, in fact, a lottery. I talked about this with Gary Parrish on my weekly spot with him on Wednesday. There's somebody, it really is what I'm trying to say. Somebody's going to drop up, somebody's going to drop back. Sure. If you're at 7th or 8th, chances are the pick is going to convey. So I think that they're, you know, if they pick up 12 or 13 more wins, that puts them at 500 the rest of the season. I think that they can do that, considering their schedule. If this roster had started the season, I think they're still probably where they are now, maybe a little bit better, a little bit worse. You can argue it both ways. But they're probably a little less than a 500 ball club. So if you get the 12 or 13 wins, knock off somebody that maybe you're not supposed to,
right?
That'll probably put them in a spot to convey.
Yeah, I think I said it on the show Tuesday that I think they probably even get there with even like 7 to 9 wins more this season, which isn't a lot. I mean, when you look at the schedule, and I went through that on my show, just looking at the schedule and kind of counting some wins coming up, that there are a lot of easy teams. Granted, you play the Chicago Bulls again, and you lost to that terrible team not that long ago. So it really is, you know, it'd be interesting to see how this team shakes out after this All-Star break, after they had some practice together, and really, really go throughout the season, you know, kind of a brand new season almost, you know, because it's a completely different team. What do you anticipate the rotations to be, your starting lines to kind of be, on Friday night versus the Clippers?
I would really like for Valanciunas to be starting instead of Ivan Rapp. And I know Bickerstaff came out and said that Ivan Rapp earned the opportunity to be the starter. J.B. Bickerstaff's coaching for his job. At least he should be. And if he is truly coaching for his job, as he should be, you're not starting Ivan Rapp. You're starting Jonas Valanciunas because he's a better basketball player. You know, Rapp has some offensive skill, but he just gets bullied on the block. He's not strong enough yet. He may never be strong enough, but he's not physically able to defend bigs in the NBA right now, at least starting caliber bigs. He needs to be a reserve. I'm not saying he needs to go back to the G League, but I think he needs to be a reserve player, and I think Valanciunas needs to start. I would hope that it'll be something like Mike Conley, Justin Holiday, Avery Bradley, because you're still seeing Kyle Anderson, those liners, he might be done for the year or another extended period of time, if not for the season. So Kyle Anderson won't be in that mix, at least not to start, you'd imagine. So you're looking at Holiday and Bradley probably. I'd like DeLon Wright to be one of those starters, but Bickerstaff probably likes his flexibility as a combo guard, the ability to play the two and point guard. So maybe you use him in that six-man role, malleable off the bench. And then it'll be Jaren. So to me, I think you'll see Conley, Bradley, Holiday, Jaren, of course, and Valanciunas as your starters. Rotation pieces, we talked about Wright, we talked about Rab, Chandler Parsons, it's already been said, he's going to be in the rotation. You'd imagine Devon Carter will still be in that mix. CJ Miles is another one. Bruno Caboclo is another guy that they have. They'll probably go 10 or 11 deep, because why not? I mean, there's no point in grinding anybody into the ground. I would say I hope Jaren Jackson Jr. not unleashed in the sense that he's the main focus of the offense, although that should have been the way it was ever since the Gasol trade, and of course it's still roughly fresh. He should still be getting many more looks, but he also needs to be just playing. You know, if he makes fouls in the third quarter, don't sit his ass down. Let him play. If he fouls out, foul out. Who gives a damn? You might lose anyway. Just let him learn. Let him learn how to play with fouls. he can't play in constant fear of being removed from a game because he made a mistake. To me, that's one of J.B. Bickerstaff's biggest sins of this season, is the way that he's handling Jaren Jackson Jr. Not because he's holding him to a higher standard. I can see that argument. He's not doing that across the board. It's almost like he's singling out Jaren for his potential, which isn't fair to him, and it doesn't really make sense to be the way that you're trying to endear yourself to the guy who's the future of the franchise. If you're doing that to everybody, like if Mike Conley picked up two quick fouls in the first quarter and you sat him down for the whole half or until two minutes left in the second quarter, at least you're consistent. There's no consistency there. You know, Mark and Mike would do the similar mistakes and they'd get to play it out. Jaren needs to be allowed to play through those things. So the rotation, I would imagine, can be pretty broad, and I could also see, hopefully, Jaren leading the team in minutes moving forward. Mike, maybe you still get him, obviously, a good chunk of change, but Jaren Jackson Jr. should be playing 34 to 36 minutes a night.
Well, to your point about Jaren and the fouls, and the thing I've said, you know, since December is, what does it matter? What is the downside? You're going to lose? Because guess what? That's already happening. Like, you're already going to lose most of those games because you're just not good at basketball. And so the only true benefit you can is just get Jaren as many minutes as you can, because to your point, you can't – there's no substitute for in-game situations. Whether those are in foul trouble or who you're playing against, there are no substitute for just being on the court against competent NBA players. Zero substitute for that. There's nothing you can replicate in a game to replace that. So – yes, I think you're completely right. You have to play Jaren as much as you can going forward. You mentioned Chandler Parsons. Obviously, he's back with the team. What do you make of the Chandler Parsons situation? Do you think he will? Do you think he'll be a disturbance or try to just try to make as much noise as he can? Do you think he'll just comply and move on and do whatever JB says?
I think he'll be as quiet as a church mouse because he's trying to prove that he can still be a functional NBA player. As silly as it sounds sitting here chatting with you, you have to understand, Chandler Parsons wants another contract. Like, he doesn't want this to be the end of his NBA career. What is he, 30, 31 years old?
Yeah.
He wants another deal. And he's obviously not going to get another max deal. Good Lord, that's not going to happen. But he look at a friend of his like Joakim Noah, who arguably has had a more successful NBA career in terms of accolades and level of play with the Chicago Bulls. He was out of the league for several months, and it took the Grizzlies taking a flyer on him with a minimum contract for him to be able to come in and show what he can do, and now he hopes to figure in to a rotation on a team that's trying to convey a draft pick. It's almost like a playoff push, where the end result is no playoffs. That's kind of what the vibe is going in here. So he has an opportunity on a team that's trying to be as good as they can be to show that he can still play. And whether it's via trade, you know, a trade of Chandler Parsons makes a lot more sense in the summer. I think it's possible that he gets moved. Maybe you tag a future second rounder or two on it and get essentially nothing back in return. And I think it's possible that a team, again, that's trying to be bad or figures not to be very good, they might do that trade just to get a second rounder or two and then waive him and eat the money for that year to free up a roster spot for a draft pick or something like that. So he is trying to show that whatever comes down the road, whether it's in Memphis next season or somewhere else, that he is still a functional basketball player and that he is worthy of another contract. And
you think he gets moved this season though? Like in this offseason? What do you think the chances are of that actually happening?
I think it's possible. An expiring contract holds some value, and if he comes out and shows that he can play, and again, even if it's just, let's say, for the sake of argument, the Chicago Bulls, although they made some moves to try to be better, maybe the Suns or the Hawks, the Cavaliers even. One of these teams that is not going to be good for a while, okay? The Cavaliers might be a better example because that Kevin Love trade is just so crippling for them. That Kevin Love contract in terms of what they're trying to do. Maybe they say, you know what, forget it. We're going to be bad. We'll eat this money. They're sending us some extra picks and bring in some prospects. I could see a team like Cleveland, a team like Phoenix, a team that is in a long-term rebuild like the Grizzlies are about to be, moving on from him and taking him on. Now, that doesn't mean it's likely. I think the most likely scenario is he's still a Memphis Grizzly come opening night. And Memphis is likely to become one of those teams that's trying to be bad in a long-term rebuild. And Memphis probably helps with that process. And then obviously that $25 million or so coming off the books in the summer of 2020 will be nice in terms of taking in dead money and picks. And as I've said here, there, and elsewhere, this is going to be a slow burn rebuild. This is going to be a one-year turnaround, playing a couple of max players and you're in the NBA Finals. This is going to take a few years to get back going here. If there is value to be had in Chandler, I think that you have to move on from him. But at the same time, and I said this on Gary Parrish's show, I have a feeling that this is going to be a new front office. I think change is coming, and potentially a new head coach, and they might just want to be rid of Parsons altogether and either move him for nothing, maybe a heavily protected second-round pick, or, I wouldn't do this, but the stretch provision is still an option, too. You might as well just keep that last year of the contract and not stretch it out, you know, $8 million off of your cap over 3 years or whatever it might be. I think it makes more sense just to keep it in the final year and let him walk. But the point is, in the short term, you're looking at Chandler Parsons being a player that is at least functional in the NBA. He wants to show that he's a professional basketball player. He can come in, he can do his job, he can hit threes, he can defend at an adequate enough level that he is, that is offered to pack him in, which again, if he were healthy, which he'll never be, there's a reason that he signed the deal he did. He has an offensive skill set that's attractive in the modern NBA. If he can be half of what the Grizzlies signed him to be, and, I mean, that's an adequate NBA player. That's somebody that belongs on an NBA roster, and that should be his goal, to show that he can still play and not be a distraction in the locker room, because he certainly is not worth taking on a headache moving forward.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the thing I said about Chandler Parsons back in December, whenever this stuff all went down, and whenever it was, I think it was in December, is that Chandler Parsons on a buyout, and that happening is how it depends on how much Chandler Parsons wants out, because the Grizzlies are not going to buy him out. They're not going to just say, okay, we'll buy you out for the full amount. They're not going to do that. So Chandler Parsons getting out of this situation is entirely dependent on what Chandler Parsons wants to do and how badly he wants out. Does he want $15 million instead of the 25? You know, what is he willing to accept to get out of the situation he's in? And I don't think he's willing to accept anything. And I said this back in December, because I don't think he's willing to accept anything, because I think in the back of his mind, this might be one of the last gigantic paydays he'll ever have. He
it's
might make money
be the
in this
last
league.
Gigantic payday.
Well, I'm talking about even significant contract, though. Just even significant. I'm not sure he makes that kind of money again. I don't think his knees are going to hold up anymore. And so in the back of your mind, you have to think, oh, I have to just wait it out just to get the money. You know, you can't just leave $10 million on the table when for the rest of your life, you know, you might need that money. So Chandler Parsons getting out of this situation in Memphis on a buyout is entirely up to Chandler Parsons, not the Grizzlies. And I don't think he wants to get out, and the Grizzlies aren't going to just pay him full amount, which is, like, to your point, which is why you might see him moved this offseason, which I just personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's still on here, the team next trade deadline, where his trade contract has actual value then. But who knows? We'll see. He's going to probably play on Friday because JB and him are friends. Hopefully it's not to the detriment of someone like Bruno Caboclo, who actually needs the minutes, but we'll probably talk about that next week. Other than that, man, I've got to get to Peter. I appreciate you joining me. We will do it again next Wednesday.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, buddy. Have fun with Peter. Tell him I said what's up.
I will, man. I appreciate it.
Tell him I said stop being disrespectful to DeAndre Hunter. Stop being disrespectful to the Wahoo, UVA. The one-man draft. Come on, man. DeAndre Hunter, Brandon Clark, and Gonzaga, there's some players out there. Come on.
I'll be sure to let him know, man. I appreciate it. You have a good one.
All right, Mark. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yep. Thanks again to Joe for joining me. Again, if you're not already familiar with his work, please go to grizzlybearblues.com. He has features all the time on there. He is very good at what he does. One of the best guys I've had the pleasure of working with. So make sure you go read his stuff over grizzlybearblues.com. You can follow him at Joe Mullenix on Twitter. Really smart dude. Really funny dude. I appreciate him having me on.
contributing to GrizzlyBearBlues.com on the regular, so I appreciate that as well. Coming up next, though, after the break, we'll have Peter Edmiston from The Athletic. He's also on local radio, Sports 56, every single morning. So we'll talk to him about the Grizzlies situation. It's been a while since we've had him on the show. He's the former host of Locked On Grizzlies. So it's been since we first started this show back in November of this – or excuse me – yeah, I think November we started this show. It's been a while. So we've had him on once, and then we'll have him on again, obviously, for his second appearance tonight, for Thursday's show as we record this the night before. But for Thursday's show, we'll have Peter on, and hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. That conversation is coming up after the break.
Welcome back to the show. Peter Edmiston from The Athletic joins me. I had Joe Molnix on in the first segment because we had to do his show late, so you're here with me in the second segment. Peter, what's going on, man? It's been a while since we've had you on.
It has been. It's been too long, Mark, but I'm glad that the Locked On Grizzlies family is doing well, and it sounds like you guys are holding down the fort, you and David and the whole crew on the Locked On Podcast Network. Big things are happening, so I'm thrilled to see it.
Yeah, man, it's been fun so far, but I just want to get right into it since we haven't really talked – publicly, we've talked obviously the games, but I want to get your thoughts just on the players that the Grizzlies got. It was almost like a brand new roster now for this Friday game against the Clippers. But is there a particular player that on that in the trade in the deals they got through the deadline that you're intrigued by the most?
Intrigued by is an interesting phrasing. I don't know if I'm going crazy over anybody really. I think that Jonas Valanciunas is an interesting player and a good player in his own way. Different kind of player to Mark, as I think it's been pretty clear in his first few games. You can kind of see how his style is going to be different than Mark's, certainly. But right. He's got size, he's got physicality. He can he can certainly rebound. He can defend. He's got some good touch. There's a lot of things to like about him. DeLon Wright. Yeah, he in theory could be the best backup point guard in Grizzly history, or at least since Jared Bayless. I guess you'll go back to the Bayless days. That is something interesting. But you've got his restricted free agency coming up, so how you value him and how that's going to work will be its own story. I didn't love. I think it was pretty clear. I wrote and I've said I didn't love the trades. I didn't really love the value. From a player standpoint, I don't think it really meshes with what you're trying to do long term. So, right. I think the group could be interesting. I mean, watching Avery Bradley, get back to some of his earlier form in Detroit might be interesting. He certainly had a really good start to his Grizzly career. There's a lot of rehabilitation potential there, but he's still going to be paid more handsomely than you'd probably want to, even in a best case scenario with him. So. Even the good stuff kind of has even the silver linings have a few clouds, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I totally understand. I get what you're saying about Valanciunas, but what do they do with Valanciunas in the offseason? He obviously has a player option like $17 million. Is that something that you can see them maybe doing a opt out, the long term deal, or the long term addition to his player option? Is that something that that might be on the table in the offseason for Valanciunas?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it's entirely up to him. The Grizzlies right. have no power over that. They could, encourage him with the idea that they were going to do some kind of extension, but I don't think that would make a lot of sense at this point either for the Grizzlies. I don't think that, committing to a 3 or 4 year deal at 12 or 13 million for, Valanciunas to save yourself a little bit on the cap for the next year, that doesn't do much for you. And I don't know that he's a core guy going forward. So my guess is I think the Grizzlies internally believe he's going to opt in. I would think that's probably going to be the case, especially given the market for centers and true right. bigs is not really that great. So $17 million on he's not getting that on the open market. And I don't know how long of a deal he's even getting. I don't think there's even a 3 year deal out there for him. So I would think he's going to opt in. And that's certainly what they are expecting.
Right.
And so, we'll kind of see where it goes from there. But that's what they're going to do. I mean, he'll opt in, and then next year you'll use him as you're using him now, and potentially as a trade chip, expiring contract, although the 2020 free agent class is not that great. So I don't know that there's going to be just a huge clamor to free up money, but potentially maybe you could use that. It'll remain to be seen, but I expect him to be on the books next year.
So you don't see any value in him being here long term?
With Mark, see, this is where the question of what's the plan comes in.
Right.
I could, if there was a plan, if there was a stated goal and a plan and an idea behind what it is that they wanted to do, and here's what we're going to do, and the plan is being made up as they go. So no, right. As long as it's like that, if there was some sort of a short-term burst and you got an infusion of talent and you could talk yourself sort of like they did at the beginning of this year, they talked themselves into believing that this could be a playoff team, then yeah, Valanciunas certainly could. He can play. Valanciunas is a good player. He's a solid, big man. He has a lot of skills. So I'm not knocking him in terms of that. It's just, what is a 27-year-old center who's, somewhat limited in the way that you can use him with a core that you're building around a 19-year-old? What good is that? With the idea that you're probably going to be worse next year, you still have to deal with what happens with Mike Conley going forward. There's no conceivable scenario that I can think of, Mark, where a core of Conley, Jaren and Valanciunas plus whoever is going to be, anything close to a playoff team. So since that's not going to happen, what's the plan?
True. No, you're exactly right. And you even asked Chris something along those, Chris Wallace, GM, along those lines at the press conference, and he spit out a word jumble of different phrases and compared basketball to baseball and some other things of which I've never heard anybody do. It was quite impressive. Do you think that Chris and the front office are here next season? Do you think they make a change?
That is the most important question of all, Mark. These moves that they made, I will tell myself this, and I think I've talked about this. The only way that they really make any sense is if you are going to change the decision-making group and process in the offseason.
Right.
And because then you're kicking the can down the road one more year, but next year you've got different people making that decision.
Okay. Sure.
I can buy that. Like that's plausible. And that's something different at least. So I could get behind that because you've got the Avery Bradley situation. You're going to, either owe him $13 million if you, for some reason guarantee his deal, which I would say is, unlikely even in spite of this nice start that he's had. Or you're going to owe him $2 million. Either way, you got to deal with whatever's going to happen there. You've got Valanciunas. You've got to deal with Dwan Wright's new contract. You're going to have Chandler Parsons as a big old expiring. You've got Mike Conley sitting there as a potential expiring because people haven't really talked about his early termination option for the 2021 year. So Mike could choose to opt out in the way that Marc Gasol has to choose to opt in. And we talked about, Mark's deal a lot, but we haven't really talked about that with Mike Conley, but he's going to be in the same position next year as Mark was this year, which was definitely a thing. And it complicated, the issue going forward. So if all of that kind of those hanging balances that are out there, those little hanging threads about what are you going to do? If all that is being dealt with by somebody else next year.
Right.
Okay. All right. I could see that. Otherwise, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think I said this right after the trade. I did like an emerging podcast, and just my immediate thoughts was, this seems like on the surface a win now type of move. It doesn't seem like a trade for the build for the future type of move. It seems almost as if Chris Wallace is trying to save his job type of move. Like, look what I got here in this deal. I don't know. That was kind of my immediate thought. Was just it didn't make sense to me either, and I just thought, where are the other pieces? There's got to be something I'm missing. And it wasn't. It was just not great value for what you could have gotten.
That's the thing is that you end up, you get one, second round pick, in 2024 and you get, players who are, old. I mean, you've got, those guys are seven and a half years older actually than Jaren Jackson, both Valanciunas and Dwan Wright. That's a huge difference. That's two contracts difference between those guys. So, it doesn't match up with your timetable. But as far as whether any of that will actually happen, I have no idea. I mean, I think it. There have been times this year when a lot of people thought that something would happen, and it hasn't. There have been times, when honestly you just don't know. I mean, it's up to Robert Pera, and Robert Pera is, as ever, non-communicative and inscrutable. So it's entirely right. Up to him, and I have no way to predict what he's going to do.
And that's the thing, is like you really want, everybody was saying before the trade down, well, Chris Wallace isn't making this decision, it's going to be Robert Pera's decision. Do you really want Robert Pera, a non-basketball guy, making basketball decisions anyway? I mean, is that what you really want? I mean, I don't know, but I don't know if it's any better than Chris Wallace making the decision, but that's something that people just say, oh, it's not Chris Wallace's decision, it's Robert Pera's. Well, you really got to think about who that person is. I mean, Robert Pera is not anywhere near close to a basketball mind at all. And so I think that was something that got tossed around a lot. I didn't buy into it because Chris Wallace, he still has a direct line to Robert Pera. It's not like he just up and doesn't communicate with him anymore, doesn't talk to him. So, but you mentioned Mike Conley. Do you think Mike Conley makes it to the roster next year? My feeling is I doubt it. I think Mike's kind of done and over and wants to be out. But what do you think?
Again, I it all depends on their plan.
Right.
And I wish I knew more about what that plan was. If they had some idea that Mike was going to be the caretaker of the franchise and, shepherd Jaren Jackson Jr. into the role of leader and hold his hand until they truly make the transition at the end of Mike's deal, then maybe that makes some sense. But I think it's wiser, because there is some value in having a good point guard and a good distributor to get the ball to Jaren. I mean, we've seen how difficult it is for the Grizzlies as it is with Mike to get the ball to Jaren Jackson this year. You can see what's happened in Phoenix where they've really struggled with their bigs. They had, Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender and all these bigs that were skilled and talented potentially, but never developed because who was throwing them the ball? It was just a black hole at point guard. So you don't want that situation to repeat itself in Memphis. There is value in having Mike Conley around to make sure that doesn't happen. But, is that value outweighed by the fact that you could get, something good and something that could help you jumpstart your rebuild by getting rid of him? That's the question they're going to have to weigh. And it depends, obviously, on what you can get. If you can get, a really good pick, that would certainly help. The Grizzlies are going to be down a pick at some point in the next 3 years, whether it's this year, right, next year, or the year after. They're going to be down one pick, so you already need to get one back at least. And probably two. If you can do that with Mike and maybe get an intriguing young talent or something like that, I think you have to do it. But again, I don't know that they were really very interested in trading Mike. They said they were. I don't really think they were actually very serious about it in this trade deadline here. They were obviously much more serious about trading Mark because they did. I don't think they ever got real serious about trading Mike.
It almost felt like you had to just kind of lump Mike in there with Mark just because you didn't want to leave Mark out on an island by himself. At times, it just felt like, we're just chopping our guys. But really, internally, we don't really want to get rid of Mike. Maybe we're just chopping Mark only, but we just didn't want to make him feel too bad. I don't know. Just I know by the end of that, the whole situation, Mark was really, really over it and kind of done with it. But the Grizzlies play on Friday. Again, they start back up. Chandler Parsons is going to be supposedly in uniform. I asked Joe Mullenix the same thing, and I'll ask you, do you think that you think Chandler makes a ruckus and makes a scene and kind of is louder than normal, or just kind of goes quietly into the night and does exactly what he's supposed to do to get through this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a kind of an awkward marriage of convenience, at this point.
Right.
Clearly, the organization is done with all the stuff surrounding Chandler, whether that's fair or not, it's irrelevant at this point. They're just kind of done with it. Chandler, for his part, wants to play, but wants to play only on his own terms and only to some extent. He feels as though he's earned the right to avoid going down to the G League. That's his opinion. I don't share it, but that's what he thinks. And so, they can't do anything about that. They can't per rule. They can't make him do that. So,
right.
And I think his teammates even would tell you, as much as they support the guy, and they do like Chandler, there's this misconception by some that he's disliked. He's not. I mean, I think the guys all like the guy personally. He's a likable guy. I think they just have gotten frustrated with the inability to really count on him. And some of that's not his fault. Some of it is. And, you know, so I think that they probably would say, look, man, I know that, you know, there were guys in the locker room that tried to bridge that gap between the two parties and talk to, you know, both Chandler and the organization and try to make it work. And it wasn't going to happen. So now that the trade deadline's over and Chandler's value is what it is, which is, you know, zero, he's going to be an expiring contract as soon as July 1 rolls around. That won't change no matter what happens. If he gets hurt, if he doesn't, it's already done and over with. The Grizzlies had some, you know, tiny fraction of a percentage of hope that maybe they could do something with his contract prior to the trade deadline. Obviously, that was a pipe dream. So now there's really no harm. He's not going to get hurt. You're not going to get hurt. You're trying to win, you know, whatever. Just go out there and do something and just see what happens. And, you know, you should have low expectations. And they probably, they probably are going to have pretty low expectations, to be honest, and rightly so. And, you know, whatever happens, man, is if it helps Chandler regain a little confidence and he turns into, you know, something of a player, I mean, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, whatever happens on the court with Chandler is not going to change his trade value at all. Like, people aren't just going to dismiss the other years of things that are having and injury concerns. That's, you know, like you mentioned, nothing that happens is really going to change what happens in the offseason. So I'm with you. Just get through it, play him, and that's what JB would do because they have a good relationship. And hopefully it isn't to the detriment of some other players. But I'm sure that he'll play. And I said this on my show Tuesday. They'll probably play. And, you know, and 5 games are probably out with knee soreness and it won't matter anymore. And we'll stop talking about it. but again, Peter, I appreciate you joining me. Peter Edisman from The Athletic. I also can hear him on local radio, Sports 56, every single morning, man. Thanks so much, man.
Sure, man. Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, bud. Take care, man. Have a good one.
Thanks again to both those guys for joining me. I appreciate them taking the time out. We always record these kind of at night, usually later at night, because we all have kids. So I appreciate them taking the time out of their night, their Wednesday nights, and recording those conversations with me, just talking about the Grizzlies for you guys to enjoy. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. If you don't, let me know. If you do, let me know. If you're not following the show on Twitter, make sure you follow the show at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. That's where we'll continue the conversation after the show. If you guys have a moment, please go rate and review the podcast in iTunes. Would really appreciate you guys leave a review. It really helps us in the iTunes rating. So if you're not already subscribed in iTunes, please do that as well. You get automatic daily downloads, and those just show up right every day to your phone. And it's super easy. If you're not on Apple, you can go to literally anywhere that has podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you guys get your podcasts, is on every single platform. If you still don't know where to go, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.